Certainly good to see everyone again this evening, and we're grateful for the health of those who are present. Ask that you petition God in prayer for those of our number, and there are many who are listed in the bulletin and mentioning the announcements that are suffering for one cause or another. We are grateful for your presence. I'd like to spend my time this evening in a discussion of the text of Luke chapter 10, if you would like to turn with me there. We had mentioned in the scripture reading this evening by Brother Carroll, the mention of Mary, the mother of Jesus. We're going to be talking about a mother Mary, another Mary. There are many Marys. There is the mother Mary and there's another Mary, and there are others as well. But we're going to be talking about two of Jesus' close friends, Mary and Martha. You remember them as being the sisters of Lazarus, the one who died and was resurrected by our Lord. We're actually going to make an allusion to that text in our lesson this evening. But primarily, we're going to be talking about the text in Luke chapter 10. Jesus had befriended this family in the little town of Bethany, just outside of the city of Jerusalem. And as he often came and went from Jerusalem, it was not uncommon for him to stop in their home. Perhaps he stayed with them as he was in that area. We don't know a great deal about them. There is not much that is said about his interaction other than in John chapter 11 in verse 5. We are told that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so these were intimate friends of our Lord. Most of what we do know comes from this text here in Luke chapter 10. There is another text in John chapter 11 where Lazarus was raised from the dead. And then finally, when Mary washed Jesus' feet with fragrant oil, that account where she is actually named is found in John chapter 12. The first eight verses of that text. On that occasion, which she was had the opportunity to wash his feet with the oil, which itself was a controversial thing. It seemed like a number of things that Mary did were controversial. We'll talk a little bit about that. But it is said that they were in the house of Simon the leper. There is nothing known about Simon the leper other than Jesus was in his house, and that while he was in his house, that Martha served. And so there is some speculation, the possibility that Martha was the husband of Simon the leper. But there is nothing really known for sure about that. It may have been another home, and Martha was just taking the position of hostess on that particular occasion. So we're not going to spend a great deal of time speculating. In fact, I want to talk a little bit about the dangers of speculation whenever you come across individuals like this where there is very little known. We do want to emphasize some things that we can know about Martha and we can know about Mary. And, of course, what is clearly revealed in places such as John 11, where we're told that Jesus indeed had affection for this family. So the account that we're interested in is the one that was studied by the young people this morning in Luke chapter 10 and verses 38 through 42. If you are there, I would like to take this opportunity to read that passage for you. Beginning in chapter 10, verse 38, it happened that as they went, that he, Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. On other occasions, we note that that was the little village of Bethany. She had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him, and she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Now, this particular passage is an occasion where Jesus actually admonished Martha and commended Mary for doing something good. And as such, when we think about Mary and Martha, often the view that we have toward Martha is less than charitable, where the view that we have of Mary is different. So I want to just pause to emphasize what was stated. We've read it already twice from John chapter 11, that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And so he had a great affection for all three of these individuals. And there are enough indications in Scripture that Martha was a very faithful individual to where we should, I think, judge her charitably. We will talk about this specific admonition and talk a little bit about the character of Martha. So that's kind of where I want to begin the lesson this morning, is by talking about her personality. And you may notice there's a question mark beside it for that very reason, that people often ascribe to Martha a bit of shrewishness. She was a lady who complained, a lady who was very forward, perhaps imperious in her treatment of others. And they give examples like this found in Luke chapter 10, where in verse 40 we are told that she was distracted with much serving. She approached Jesus. She said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." The language that is used there, of course, we never know the exact tone that is used. And tone has a lot to do with communication. But the tone seems to indicate that she was upset and angry and perhaps even a bit put out with Jesus himself, that Jesus had not already given instruction to Mary to go and help her out. So there is this perceived rebuke of Jesus that is found in this particular text. There is another perceived rebuke of Jesus who did not come in time to prevent the death of Lazarus in John chapter 11, where she basically said, "Lord, if you would have gotten here in time, then my brother would not have died." By the way, Mary said the same thing when he met her a bit later. And when we consider those things, again, it's not surprising that some would have a rather negative view of Martha. I would hope that you would just think about how easy it would be if some were to take, let's say, 3 or 4 or 5 sentences that have come out of your mouth in your interactions with your family and your friends and your brethren in the history and write those down, what kind of view that they might have of you as a result of that. Not to say that what she said on this occasion was justifiable, because it was not, but simply to recognize her as a person of character that Jesus loved. But I want to give you just an example of what I'm talking about. I came across an article that was written in Truth Magazine to where Martha's characteristics were described utilizing these 3 accounts that we allude to. And there was much good said about Martha in that article. In fact, the article was, for the most part, complimentary of her. But I want to read one, which was headed, one paragraph headed, "Advisor to the Lord." Advisor to the Lord. And he says that Martha was a woman of impulse, energy, practical duty. Like Peter, she was ready even to give advice to her Lord and eager to put everybody in his rightful place. Now, that's a quote from Pulpit Commentary. Now, then the author says this: "This trait of Martha's was certainly not one of her good points. When Jesus arrived after Lazarus' death, Martha said, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' John 11:21. When Jesus was ready to raise Lazarus from the dead and had said, 'Remove the stone,' Martha piped up, 'Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. John 11:39. With Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus while she herself served as hostess, Martha felt the need to counsel the Lord. She said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' What nerve." Of course, we still have some around today who feel that they must advise the Lord. There are those who feel that they need to advise him on what kind of music he should want in worship to him. There are those who feel that they need to advise him on which organization can do a better job of doing his work. There are those who feel they need to advise him on which kind of sinners he should save. All of these advisors need to read Romans 11:34. The passage says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor?" Well, there's a legitimate point to be made, isn't there, from those things? But I just, when I see what nerve she popped up and she admonished the Lord, that those kinds of statements indicate that he did not have a very good view of Martha as she interacted with the Lord on this particular occasion. So when we talk about her personality, the one thing I want to just get across is the fact that what an individual does on one particular occasion should not be construed as indicating the nature of their character. Now, if someone persists in evil practice, we can say that person is an evil person. But when one falters or makes a mistake or sins with the tongue, as James indicates is so very easy to do, that we should not look at such a capsule view and extrapolate from that the character or the personality of the person. We don't know exactly what kind of individual Martha was. And there are certainly things that are to be commended about her. as we look at this interaction. The second point that we want to make in that is that very thing, that she was a hospitable individual. Not only do we see that hospitality here in our text, when we are told that she was distracted with much serving, but also, again, in the 12th chapter of John, as we talked about, that they were in the house of Simon the leper, and Martha was serving on that occasion as well. Perhaps she was the oldest of the sisters. Perhaps there was that domestic inclination in her to where she was just willing to take that part as hostess. But hospitality is something that is extremely important. And it seems obvious that Martha was always ready to open up her home to Jesus and to his followers. And that's certainly a characteristic, a personality trait, something that someone determines to do and to be that we should do well to emulate. There are a number of passages in Scripture which indicate the importance of this. I'm reminded of Romans, the 12th chapter, and the 13th verse, which is in the middle of a series of admonitions that Paul gave at the end of his book for Christians to behave like Christians, to behave in right and righteous ways. And in that, in verse 13 of the text, we are told that we are to be willing to distribute to the needs of the saints and to be given to hospitality. You'll remember that in the qualifications that are given concerning elders, that there needs to be that willingness to be hospitable, to be given to hospitality. That's an inclination that some people, to be honest, do not have. And if they do not have that inclination, then they should not serve as an elder, as a pastor in a congregation, because that is an important part of the work. And so they should be given to hospitality. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, the call is given to us generally as Christians to be hospitable to one another, and there is this added to it, without grumbling. And so it's important not only that we be willing to have individuals into our home, but that we not grumble about it. And then finally, Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 2, we are told not to forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And so there is that call for us to be hospitable, to entertain, to be mindful of the needs of other individuals. And that is something that certainly was present in the case of Martha. But on this occasion that we read in the 10th chapter of Luke, in verse 40, when we are told that she was distracted with much serving, that she approached Jesus and she asked him to tell Mary to help. And you'll notice in verse 42 of the text that Jesus' response, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled." So there are three things that are noted in this short discourse. Luke, the historian, he indicates that she was distracted. Jesus stated, "You are worried and you are troubled." Distracted, worried, and troubled. And so I want to talk just a few moments this evening about hospitality and how that hospitality, if it is not approached with the right motivation, the right idea or mindset, then that motivation or that hospitality can become something that is burdensome rather than a blessing to the individual who is showing it. And so on this occasion, and I'm not saying that this was the case with Martha every time, but on this occasion, there was an important visitor in their midst. That visitor was the Lord himself. And we are told that Mary had stopped and she had come and sat at his feet. And Martha was worried about the situation. What was she worried about? And I want you to think about what it might be in your life as you are contemplating having individuals over to show hospitality to them in your home. Consider the woman who is having individuals over, and again, this can apply to men as well, but it's a woman in the text. But she's having individuals over, and because of that, it is important to her that she has everything just so. It's got to be perfect. And so she works extra hard to make sure that everything is in its place, that everything is prepared correctly, because she is concerned and worried about how she will be perceived. What individuals will think about as they look at her house and how they will judge her with regard to how good a job that she does in expressing and showing that hospitality. Now, I want you to think about it from the other side. Have you ever been guilty of doing that? Because if so, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Coming in someone's home who's showing and expressing hospitality to you with a critical eye, a judging eye. And yes, she's being hospitable, but her house is not as clean as it would be if I were doing it, or her food is not as tasty as it would be if I were cooking it, or or there is something that is wrong, and I see that and I perceive that and I have a feeling of superiority. And I don't know of any Christian worth their salt that would have that idea as they go into another's home. And yet, how many of us are concerned about what people think when they do come into our home? And we recognize as a result of that, that this can be a burden to them. Now consider another woman. Another woman who rejoices that she has individuals in her home. It is something that she truly enjoys because it is something that is a nice thing to do for others. It's something that is beneficial to them. They will appreciate the meal, no matter how simple that it might be. She's not at all concerned if her house is not perfectly made up or if everything is not in perfect order, because she knows that the important thing is the hospitality itself and the association that she has with those of like precious faith. And so hospitality is not a burden to her. And I want you to understand that that is a proper idea. That's where 1 Peter 4:9 comes in, to be hospitable to one another without complaining, without murmuring, without grumbling about that. And it's not simply the fact that I am resisting or resentful of the fact that others have come to my home, but rather I am overly concerned about it. It puts a burden upon me. It's something that wears me out and causes anxiety to where I'm just glad it's over with when it's done. And that's not the way to be practicing hospitality. That's not the way to persist in the practice of hospitality. Now, you know, someone who's in that situation, they might not have anybody the next time because of how hard it was the first time, when most of that was self-imposed. So worry and anxiety is always problematic, not only with regard to hospitality, but in fact, anxiety, being anxious, is something that is inveighed against in Scripture time and time again. The Apostle Paul, be anxious for nothing. We're told in the book of Matthew in the 13th chapter, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22, concerning the one who received seed among the thorns. You'll remember it says it's he who hears the word in that parable of the sower. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. The cares of the world. Care and concern. Worried so much about life that it takes your focus off of the spiritual things and as such weakens your faith. Worry and anxiety is always problematic. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, the words of our Lord. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And again, not saying that there are not problems and inclinations and such that we have to fight against our nature, but there is something to be said for simply having the proper mindset and the focus on things eternal. And to recognize, as he says in verse 33 of that same chapter, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added to you. And therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things, and sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You have enough on your hands today to worry about tomorrow. But if you seek first the kingdom of God, if you have your mind on things which are above, if you don't concern yourself overly, be anxious, worry about the day-to-day aspects of your life, knowing that God cares for you and preserves you, then that can help you with regard to any anxiety or worry that you might experience. Well, enough about Martha. Let's talk for just a few moments about Mary. And unfortunately, Mary doesn't speak as much as Martha, and so we don't have as much to go on with regard to conversation. And so I would like to go over to John chapter 12, which is that other occasion where we are told in verses 1 through 3 of John chapter 12 that 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead. Now this is near the end of his life. Lazarus had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, and there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with them, and then Mary. So we've got all three of these intimate friends of Jesus here at the leper's house. For whatever reason, Martha's serving, Lazarus was sitting with Jesus, his friend Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And now Martha, we are told that verse 3, she took a pound of very costly oil, a spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Now we remember the response of the disciples, Judas especially, that covetous individual who was critical of what she did, because that could have been sold. and the money could have been given to the poor. He said this, he said, because he was covetous and he had the purse. But that act of personal devotion was an amazing act, something that was completely and totally unexpected. And I want you to just kind of remember the type of individuals who were gathered together in that small house. And that Jesus himself was a man who had no roof over his head. He had no home. And he was an itinerant traveler as he taught his disciples. And so the washing of the feet, of course, was a ritual that was engaged in. But we have individuals who were not as clean as what we would be in our day with our running water and our soaps. And so now Mary, she washes her Savior's feet with her hair after she poured this very costly oil of spikenard upon his feet and his head. That devotion was not appreciated by all who were there. It was not understood by all who were there. But I want you to think about how misunderstood the devotion that we show to the Lord, how that is often misunderstood and not appreciated by others, and how important it is for us to truly be devoted to the Lord regardless of how it will be perceived by others. Now, when we talk about such devotion, we don't have the opportunity to do such a physical ministration as Mary did on that particular occasion. Our devotion should be seen in the zeal and the discipleship, the efforts that we make to share our message of the gospel with those who are lost. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19, you'll remember the Apostle Paul, and he is a wonderful example for us to emulate in this. He said, I know, concerning his imprisonment, I know this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body. I love that phrase. It is his desire that he would have nothing to be ashamed of at the end of his life. But in every opportunity, every instance that he had an opportunity, with all boldness, he would magnify Jesus Christ. That's the type of zeal that I would say we all are to have. And a zeal and a devotion that seem to be found in the life of Mary and her devotion to the Lord. The second point that we might make with regard to that is the fact that she was so tender-hearted. And this particular occasion is in John chapter 11. The entirety of that chapter, the majority of that chapter, is taken up with the raising of Lazarus from the dead. You'll remember that Jesus delayed coming while Lazarus was sick, and he died. And after Lazarus died, then Jesus determined to go to Bethany. And he went to Bethany, and initially Martha went out to meet Jesus, but Mary remained behind in the home. But after Jesus had his conversation with Mary, the indication is that he called for Mary. After he had talked to Martha, he called for Mary because Martha went back to Mary and said, the Lord is calling for you. And when Mary heard it, she immediately went out to meet Jesus. Now we get to John chapter 11 and verse 32 of the text. And we're told that when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, that she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's what Martha said. And when we just read that article, when we talked about the advisor to the Lord, she piped up, or she admonished, or whatever it was said on that particular occasion. You can almost hear that in the phraseology. So if Martha says it, Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. But that's not the way it comes across with regard to Mary, does it? I don't think there's any different, really, truly, with what they were saying. They were grieving because they had lost their brother. And they were aware of the abilities of our Lord. And in their grief, they cried out to him, if you had been here, if only you had been here. They didn't know that he had purposefully delayed himself. They simply knew that their brother had died. Now, I want you to notice the response of Jesus in verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And what we have seen already in our discussion of these texts is that Mary's heart is obviously tender. She is a typical woman of righteousness. It can be seen in her emotions, her interactions with Jesus, the grief that she showed, the emotional upset that was present at the loss of her brother. That's the type of individuals that we all to be. And by the way, when you look at the world today that wants to toughen up women, that is so appalling to me. Because of the political correctness of our day and this women's liberation movement that has kind of petered out in some ways. But there initially and the decades previous was this idea that men can be as strong as, or women can be as strong as men are. And there wasn't that realization, that acknowledgement of the fact that God has made women different from men, and in some ways, and in some areas, very much superior to men. We talk about the tender-hearted compassion of a woman. When we think about the way in which mothers are with their children and how helpful and beneficial they can be during times of suffering and mourning, where men kind of stand by with their hands in their pockets and don't know what to say, the woman will immediately go up and they will embrace and they will cry along with those who mourn and express such sympathy for them. That's a wonderful thing. And that's certainly something we see in Mary. And it is my prayer that that would be something that we would cultivate among women in the church, among Christian women, because it's certainly a characteristic that is laudable, to be commended rather than condemned. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and verses 31 and 32 of the text, the Apostle Paul says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away with you with malice, and be kind to one another, and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." The tender-hearted Mary is certainly a woman that we would do well to emulate. And then finally, the fact that she was spiritually minded, which is the obvious point to be made in our text in Luke chapter 10. I'd like to read again, beginning in verse 39, this short section. "She had a sister, Martha did, called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha was distracted with the serving. She approached Jesus, said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' But Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you're worried, troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the good part, and it shall not be taken away from her.'" Now, it's interesting to note that Mary's actions, though they were the ones that were commended by Jesus, were the ones that were the most surprising and perhaps the ones that would cause individuals to object most highly. Again, it was a shocking thing when she broke open the oil of spikenard and that alabaster flask and poured it upon Jesus' feet and upon his head. People said, "Wait a second, what's going on? This shouldn't happen." And while Judas is the one that is mentioned by name, we're told the other disciples were likewise upset at what she had done. Here on this occasion, can you imagine and understand the domestic inclination of Martha? Mary, it's our place to be in the kitchen. That's where we're supposed to be. And Mary didn't do that. Now, I do want to say one thing. Keep in mind the way in which they ate in the first century. You remember that they reclined as they ate. It wasn't like where we eat. And so here they were in the process of being served. Martha was taking part in that. And we're told that she was sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, what we see these in the pictures in the Renaissance times, and perhaps this is what we have in our mind, that Jesus sitting in a chair or on a bench or something, and Mary sitting in front of Jesus right in the middle of everything. But if he was reclining, his feet were behind him, and if she was sitting at his feet, she wasn't inside the inner circle, face to face with Jesus, she was in the back, behind him, away from the center of attention, sitting quietly to listen to her Lord. And as I thought about that, and as I read in a particular commentary that was talking about what was the characteristic of the day, and of course I knew that they reclined, I was aware of it. It seems to me that it's more that Mary was simply wanting to have an ear inclined to him. She didn't want to participate. She didn't want to be the center of attention. She didn't want to be seen. But what she did want to do is to hear her Lord. And so she put herself in a listening attitude, content to be in the shadow, as the expositor's Bible. I love this phrase. She put herself in the listening attitude, content to be in the shadow outside the charmed circle, if she only might hear him speak, whose words fell like a rain of music upon her soul. She was spiritually minded. And she wanted to be edified by the words of her Lord. And that is a wonderful thing. And that's why Jesus said, Martha, you're doing a good thing here. You're worried about it, but you're doing a good thing. But Mary has chosen something I'm not going to take away from her. She has chosen to listen to the words of the Master. And that wasn't going to be taken away. May we all have such a desire to hear the words of our God. We read quite often, there's actually a song. It's put to music, the 19th Psalm, the first about verses 7 through 10 of that text. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Mary had that proper attitude toward hearing the words of the Lord, do we? And again, it's certainly worthy of our emulation. As we draw our lesson to a close this evening, we understand that Martha and Mary were different individuals. They were sisters, but it seemed that they had very different personalities, at least the little bit that we know about them. There seems to be a difference in persons. But what we need to remember is that they were both faithful in their own way to the Lord. And they were both loved by Him. And that is the key, I think, to our standing before God as one who is accepted of Him. You want to be a friend of Jesus. If you love me, He said, keep my commandments. Faithfulness to Him. Developing that proper character. Having the proper mindset and attitude towards spiritual things. Maturing as a child of God. Becoming the type of woman that God would have you to be. Or to be of good courage and stand fast and quit ye like men. If you are a child of God who is a man. These things are different for different individuals. Not everyone has the same responsibilities. Not everyone has the same place. But there is the opportunity for each and every one of us to be faithful to the Lord as we do what He desires for us to do. Mary and Martha, I think, are two women who did just that. I hope and pray that the lesson this evening has been beneficial to you. Good character studies, just as often is the case throughout the Old Testament and the New, whenever we have an opportunity to learn from the example of others of like precious faith. It's something that we would do well to look to. But as we draw our lesson to a close, we don't know the hearts of any, and it may be that there is one here who has not become obedient to the gospel of Christ and needs to do so this evening. We call upon you, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that He died a perfect and sacrificial death on the cross at Calvary, shed His blood that our sins might be taken away. You believe that He was resurrected from the dead on the third day, that you turn away from your sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized to have your sins washed away this evening. If you're willing to do that, you have an opportunity. The baptistry is ready, and we are ready to assist you to become a child of God. If as a Christian there is something amiss in your life or some encouragement you need, we offer ourselves to you as well. The invitation is yours, and we ask that you come. While together we stand, while we sing.